Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying,
hey, man.
Glad you're here listening to Atlanta's number one sports station. It's number one sports show. The Bills know they have to stop the run against us. Why? Because they are tied for second worst in yards per carry. They're giving up almost six a pop, 5.6 yards. What kind of night is Bijan and Tyler Algier going to have as we start preparing for the Buffalo Bills on Monday night? Guys, want to hear from you at 404-726-0929. Mike and I have been talking about this today, and it's like this this fear, as Day-Day put it, that you are fearful that the Bills are going to come in here and like put us in our place for some reason. We got a good football team. I know we had a lapse a couple of weeks ago. I understand that. But, guys, we've been telling you if this thing starts to come together like we think it is, and you saw that against the Commanders, we're going to be just fine. Mike, you said it. This may be a low-scoring game, but we got to get out of this mindset of fear, fearing the worst when the Bills come in.
Right. We got a 33% chance of making the playoffs after starting 0-2. And I know that we've talked about this was a week we really thought, ah, man, you know, Carolina will lose. They didn't. Okay, well, the Bucs, no, they didn't. Now, again, those are NFC.
Saints.
Yeah, the Saints, you know, that was one as well. You know, the only one that was an NFC conference game was the Seattle loss to the Bucs. You know, we still need to get those division wins to still win this division. It's going to be tough. You know, I'd love to have an extra home game as a fan. Who wouldn't? But we may have to be a wild card. First things first, this was one. They had a lot of fans. I don't know how you felt as a Falcon fan. We always do it. It's human nature. Yes, it's silly. But you can't help but look at it and go, that's a win. That's a loss. That's a win. This was one that I always thought was a toss-up. You know, but then you see how mediocre the Bills' defense has looked at times, especially with how well we should be able to run the ball. So, but you're right. Josh Allen and Coach Morris talked about it. He's a big man. You got to get that dude on the ground. As Dave Archer said, it's like tackling an edge rusher.
It really is. Speaking of Raheem Morris, he spoke today to the media. Mike and I will be up there Thursday. We'll have our exclusive interview with Coach and a couple of players as well stopping by as we get ready for Buffalo on Monday night at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. First thing is, this bye week provided them a chance to do some self-scouting. This is Raheem Morris.
From a stat standpoint, you're pretty ecstatic about where you are in a lot of categories. And the categories you want to improve, obviously, are the main ones for us on offense is scoring touchdowns. You know, if we can improve that, we'll have a really good offense, right? We got all these yardage things and all the stuff that don't matter. We got a lot of things that you have from the field position standpoint that helps out the defensive stats, which all those things are working out really well. And then some of our coverage things on obviously in special teams we want to do better. And I think those things will come, you know, having the ability to be able to get back and see some of the returns from Agnew and some of the guys that's coming back.
It's funny, we were talking about that with Arch. I mean, I was not trying to be a Weisenheimer, but we got great defensive numbers because we generally only have to defend for 45 yards of offense because Marquise Williams' special teams team is allowing, but we're not the only one. Kick returns are up across the league.
They are.
They finally, you know, after monkeying around with this and no one knew what this thing was a year ago, now we're getting better returns, but we've got to tighten that up.
Yeah, it's been the reason why part of the reason why we've lost our games. Setting up teams with great field position, not flipping the field, not covering kicks the way we should, opinion short kicks. Like, you've had the gamut of things that have happened, and that's got to get tightened up. You're right. What about the status of A.J. Terrell? Coach talked about that today as well.
Then A.J. probably to be the significant one that we look forward to getting back this game. You know, obviously he'll be out there practicing with us all week, and we'll take it right to game time, and I'm feeling good about it.
All right, so he'll be at practice, but they're not promising you he'll play. The guess is he probably will, but I don't think they're going to commit to that until probably later in the week. Maybe we'll know more Thursday when we get up there. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Mike, what is through five, was it 5 weeks, 6 weeks?
Right.
What's the identity of the team? Do you think you know? Is it defense with all these defensive stats that we're reading?
I mean, you know, it's funny. We're a were a ball hawking team.
Yes.
You know, we drafted ball hawks. As a matter of fact, you mentioned it earlier. Raheem Morris said, hell, you know, if Watts doesn't drop that pick in week one, he's probably the defensive rookie of the month. You know what I mean? And maybe even more. This is a team that offensively, I think we're still just scratching the surface. We know what Drake is. I talked about it with Dave Archer when he called in. I got to get more from Pitts. Mooney, Coach Bench, is not 100%. You know, but we run the football. We are a running football. We run the football. I think we should be doing more with play action. We're not going to argue about the pistol. That's it. But I think our identity is running the football right now. And the defense is, I mean, it's a close second, right, with a ball-hawking D. How's that?
This is what Coach said when he was asked today about the team identity. And then we'll play for you what he said about us being a running football. Here's Raheem Morris.
You know, our guys are still forming it. I think you don't have to form the identity throughout the season. I think that thing just earned on tape. And I think the guys are going out there and doing it. You know, the last game was a great example of what it could look like consistently. You know, obviously the game before that was not it. You know, those other two highly competitive games you felt really good about. And we've got to get that one blemish off our record that's really killing it. You know, obviously you want to win them all. That's not the reality of our game, but we're really competitive in three of them, and one of them we were not.
Yeah, and that's fair. You want to be competitive in more of them than you are not as the season moves. Here's what he talked about when it comes to the running game, because if you ask anybody around the league, if they watch us, this is what they say about us. It's probably the number one thing they say about us. It's not Michael Penix throwing for 400 yards every game. He's not doing that yet. He hadn't had to. It's running the ball.
I think we're a running football team that's able to go out there and run it on, you know, just about anybody when you want to run it with the two guys that we do have. I think those guys are doing a great job. I think our up front is having the ability to be able to run the football. We got to find ways to score more touchdowns and do different things like that on offense. I think on defense, we're playing fast. We're playing physical. We're a good tackling football team. They're competitive, which I love. And I think on special teams, I think we got some guys to go out there and just want to play. I think I got high character. They're ready to go out there and make a play for us at any moment.
Did he just say fast and physical?
Fast and physical.
Did I just hear him say fast and physical?
Well, the ghost of Falcon coaches pass because we also self-scout a lot.
Well, but he's not lying. He's right about that aspect of it. That's how a head coach, at least Raheem Morris, is seeing his team. And I don't think he's that far off when you start saying, what are we? Guys, by week 10, you got to know. Like, you got to know what your strengths are, where you can go with the football, Mike, how we're getting in the end zone, who we need to count on. Like, going into a season, you think you know. And then the season plays out, and you're like, okay, but like a few weeks from now, you're going to feel completely different about some of this stuff we're talking about. But I'm with him. Does the running football team thing change? If it's your strength, stay with it.
Right. I mean, it should lead to teams trying to stop you and opening things up in the passing game.
Yes.
You know, and we trust in Penix Jr. I think, yes, fans are still, not many, but still some. Yeah, we get all the negativity on social media about how bad we looked in Carolina. Just throw it out. Forget it. Burn the tape. You know, Penix made some terrible mistakes. He bounced back with a monster game. Made all the right moves. Matter of fact, even, you know, like we talked about, even the Bucs game, he dropped a ball right there for Kadarius Hodge. If he doesn't get jammed up with the line, we probably win that. You know, so this guy's been making the throws. I just got to see a little more explosiveness from Pitts. I mean, not that he's not doing it. He's got to see him. You know, and that gets back to Zach. I wish Zach had been on the field to start the season. You know, lesson learned. But Zach, we're a better offense. Hopefully that continues. What is Sean McDermott going to do to stop all the things we try to do?
Well, you can do a couple of things. One, you can really put the onus on Michael Penix to beat you with his arm. And you basically stack the box and say, look, we're not giving up 5.6 or 6 yards a pop to Bijan Robinson or Tyler Algier. We're going to shut that down, and we're willing to go one-on-one on the outside because we don't think your quarterback can beat us. And if they do that, Mike, our quarterback's got to beat them. And that is really how you attempt to try to stop the run game against us. But the thing about the pistol, and this gets back to just that's one formation, you spread them out in a way that they've got to keep nickel on the field. You can't bring in bigger guys and bigger, you know, set formation guys that are bigger and more stout to stop the run when you have guys spread out and you're like, we got to still defend this.
Mm-hmm.
That is one of those formational benefits of unpredictability. You just can't run it right every damn time you're in the pistol. You got to switch some things up. If they do that, and he has, to Zach's credit, it looked a lot better last week or 2 weeks ago when we played. But Mike, that's how you try to come in and stop the Falcons, because what you're saying is, I want to see Michael Penix throw for 350 right. And 3 touchdowns.
That's it.
Show me.
And see, you know, as a young, like all young quarterbacks, Bo Nix looked terrible last year. Looked terrible to start this season. Looks like he's kind of right of the ship. And certainly we've seen, you know, Jaden Daniels, when he was not 100%, couldn't do all the things he's used to doing. It changes what he can do. Penix Jr. with Zach Robinson, maximizing the talent. Maybe that means that Casey Washington's got to step up if Mooney's not 100. You know, and as I said, I've mentioned Pitts three times today. Other thing that happened, it is Falcon-related in the sense that I think a lot of Falcon fans felt if a team as good as the Bengals with all their, you know, skill position players lost their quarterback like Joe Burrow, we'd get a phone call. So whether we're sticking to our guns about you got to pay off a big chunk of whatever this year was, or we're sticking to our guns about a second or a third round pick, Joe Flacco got traded for a fifth round pick and they sent a sixth rounder with him from the Browns to the Bengals today.
Yeah, and Ben Moore hits me up. He says, put him up, see Dukes. Falcons should not trade Cousins. The money spent. He says Cousins is a great insurance policy. And that was my point earlier about maybe they feel the same way. Maybe teams have called, and the Falcons have just said, he's not tradable. Like, we're not interested. Even if Cousins wants out, this is what we've said in the summer. He's under contract. And then if you offered him a deal, Mike, like this, he still would have had to sign off on it. Because he has that right of refusal to say, hey, I want to go or I don't want to go. So I think there's a lot of things here. And, Ben, I appreciate that. Follow Mike at Mike Bell ATL. But that was kind of where I was at today when I posed it to you and said, what if the front office has been like, look, people have called and we'll never know, but we're not accepting any offers. He's going to be here. We've paid him. He is a great insurance policy. Hopefully we don't need him. But we're fine. And that is like a hard pill, I think, for Falcon fans to swallow simply because most of you thought, if a trade came about, we would trade him. It'd be instantaneous.
Right.
Maybe not.
Look, I wish we just drafted Penix. We've covered this for years, last 18 months. It is what it is. It's a very expensive insurance policy, but you're right. Looks like we're going to hold on to it. And maybe that's the play. We'll see where it goes. I know that this team has got super skilled position players. Everybody has gone through injuries at one point or another. You know, we talked about, you know, AJ's banged up right now. We know that Mooney's not 100%. Drake was banged up until last week, then Drake exploded back to being the Drake we're supposed to. We got two great running backs. So let's just go blow it up, man. Let's go. Let's hope it is going to be a higher. I mean, what do you think? Higher scoring? Arch talked about two teams that possess the football more than anybody.
They do.
So that means under. Right now, the over-under, by the way, is at 49. Sometimes places 48.5. Maybe it's going to be one of those kind of games where, you know, you might only get the ball. Five, six times. You got to maximize it.
I agree. Hey, coming up, they're trying to introduce a bill to block private equity deals in college athletics. We're on board. You should be too. We're going to tell you about that and what did Kirby Smart have to say about his O-line and talking about his secondary is a work in progress. They get ready for Auburn coming up this Saturday. We'll go around the college football world next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's interesting because, Mike, I think even we talked about Odell Beckham Jr. during the offseason and maybe, hey, all right, would you give it a go?
Well, we thought about it once Mooney got hurt. You know, that's we right. were at camp when we saw Mooney basically hit the ground awkwardly with that shoulder, you know, that yet never really told us what it was, shoulder injury, upper body. And we said, hey, maybe if you really got desperate before Casey Washington emerged, would you call Odell Beckham? And you know, a lot of our audience, because he's a name, people are always going to throw a name around. They recognize it. Now we find out, well, nobody's calling Odell Beckham.
Yeah, I know why, because he admitted on the Pivot podcast today that he accepted a 6-game suspension for violating the NFL's policy on performance-enhancing drugs. My guess is, guys, the injuries, he's trying to come back, recover quicker. We don't know the full story, but he said today in that interview that he failed a test last season while he was a member of the Dolphins.
Right.
And so coming back, he would accept a 6-game suspension, which means even if somebody were to pick him up, he's got to sit. And now, Mike, you're talking about, what, 6 more weeks? That's early December maybe before you get a chance to see Odell Beckham. Either way, he says he wants to continue to play in the NFL. He's 33 years old by the time the suspension ends, but he does want to play again. And, you know, he's been, what, with four franchises, he said, had been interested in joining: Steelers, the Chiefs, two of his former teams, the Rams and the Giants. But he was released by the Dolphins last December. Mike, didn't really do anything. Over nine games, nine catches for 55 yards.
Ugh.
So
that's all. That's just, I mean, look, you know, guys, because they have that, you know, that name recognition, I think fans always kind of feel they can still bring it and they can bring something to you, you know, to the table. Now, at that stage, I'm going to say no.
Yeah.
And again, Casey Washington, remember, he was doing okay. Then he got the concussion. Remember, we lost him for a couple of weeks.
True.
So Kadarrell Hodge is also another one of the backup guys if Mooney doesn't, you know, if Mooney's still not 100%. Meanwhile, if you missed the Falcon report, we found out that, now we don't know if the Falcons got the phone call from the Bengals or not.
I have no idea.
But we found out that, you know, the ask was pretty easy for Flacco. The Bengals got a 6th-round pick and Flacco for a 5th-rounder. And so he'll take over. But I think everybody, after a lot of guys hit us up on the text line saying, you know, what's the dealio? Because, yeah, Kirk Cousins at this stage, and we saw Kirk Cousins in preseason, he's certainly 100%. Maybe he was never 100%, or he was for a minute, and then the Saints game happened. But either way, Kirk's back, but nobody, at least not yet. And maybe there's another injury between now and the first week in November. November 4th is the trade deadline. But you don't think it's going to happen?
No, look, I just feel like he is a really good insurance policy to have, God forbid, if something happened to Mike. And we don't expect that, right? We think Michael's doing a great job, and this is just the way it's going to play out. But I actually think, too, the Falcons may be thinking now, Mike, we hurt ourselves more by trading him at this point. Like you hurt your team even more by trading him. So it just kind of doesn't make sense. And I know it's crazy. Guys, the money's going to come off the books at the end of the season. You can move on. Like this becomes a lot easier to maneuver.
Right.
It's just not that big of a deal. And to be quite honest with you, it's not affecting our season.
No.
So I just feel like that's where they're at, potentially in the front office. We won't know, Mike, because they're not going to tell us if they accepted those calls or not. But I joked earlier and just said, if teams did call and they went, he's not available, that could have been the situation.
Right. So, again, it's an expensive insurance policy, but it's an insurance policy. And, you know, it's one that
you paid for it.
You bought it.
You paid for it. Well, it's just like real insurance, right?
I mean,
like, in real life, you go, hey, honey, I need life insurance. It's expensive.
Right.
Yeah, but we got to have it.
Right.
And once you purchase it, it's yours. You're not getting out of it because I'm not going to leave my family high and dry. Right. It's just what it is, man. Like, that's how I'm looking at this Cousins thing. I don't know Mike for sure, but it's just suspicious to me. If I'm the Bengals and their front office and their scouts absolutely know, all right, what are our best options out there?
Right. But I mean,
you're not calling the Falcons?
I mean, as far as insurance policies, I mean, we could have called the General. I think we went State Farm here or Farmers. But anyway, we got the insurance policy. I digress. The other thing, and Carl and I were talking about this off the air, and we started the show. And if you, by the way, speaking of the show, there's a show before the show. It's the Dukes and Bell pre-show. And it starts around 11:15-ish. We always give you a heads up on Twitter and our X when it does start. But today we were talking about what a great big marketing nothing burger. Talking about LeBron James. Did you guys, and by the way, behind the glass, Oren and Dede, did you really, I mean, for a minute, did we think that LeBron was going to give us something big? Like, this is going to be the farewell tour?
Or he gave you something.
But when you saw the ad and the way it started, the way they teased it, it's not Greg Gumbel. It's not Ernie Johnson. It's not Jim Gray. It's just some dude, Carl, sitting in a chair in a gym.
Yeah.
So maybe that told us it was going to be nothing.
Yeah. When I saw that little teaser, I was just like, this is nothing. This is has nothing to do with basketball.
Well, the funny part is, though, just on the strength of what it could be, tickets for that final Lakers game, the season home game, shot up like 4 times the amount that they normally would be. The prices were insane to get in just because of the announcement that came today that wasn't about basketball.
And all we learned is LeBron's taking my talents to Hennessy.
Henny Hen! Yeah. It's going to be.
But some people, because some folks, Day-Day and Orange Point, you know, it's LeBron, it's a strong brand. People are gullible. They felt this is going to be something, something big.
But it's going to be, what, a collector's bottle, collector items kind of deal with his number or the crown?
It's going to sell out, too, right?
Correct. That's the other part about this. I mean, like, as much as we're like, it was nothing, you won't find it anywhere. So
Maximum Bob hit us up and goes, he beclowned himself for a cognac?
He really did. He really did. So, but look, I don't know if I'm surprised. I said to Mike, do you think he's going to announce when he's done? Like, if you're going to do it, you think he's going to get to the middle of the season and go, all right, now I'm announcing I'm finished? I think if he wanted to do that, he would let people know. I don't know if he's going to do that. I think LeBron's going to play a season. Everybody's going to go, oh, he's going to play another year, and he's just going to be like, I'm out.
Because he played with Bronny. That was accomplished, you know, for whether you think of Bronny, yes or no. And by the way, we're talking NBA. We also found out today, or I think we dropped last night from Shams Charania, that the Knicks were the team that probably got the closest to, or at least as close as any conversation about getting Giannis out of Milwaukee, it would have been New York. But they couldn't give Milwaukee enough stuff.
Yeah, I would have traded him. Giannis is still a very good player. But, like, if you're the Knicks, Mike, you kind of feel like this is your moment. Celtics are banged up, right? You start looking around. The Bucks are not what they were. Way went all in. Dame Lillard got injured. He's going back to Portland. He won't start the season on time. Like, you just look around the Eastern Conference and you're going, okay, who are the real contenders? If we trade for Giannis, how much better does that make us? I just don't think they wanted to break up that team, that, you know, some of the pieces that they have with that team. Is that a championship caliber Knicks team? I don't know. People feel like it is. We're about to find out. They got a new coach with Mike Brown. Good luck with that.
Yeah, I mean, that Knicks, I mean, that Pacers series. I mean, that series, now again,
and the Pacers are broke too.
And in hindsight, do you fire Thibodeau over the blowing? Was it game one at the Garden?
It was.
And now you're back. And then you didn't have anybody that you were going to. You really didn't know who your coach was going to be when you decided to fire Tibbs. Either way, the Knicks are the Knicks. One thing for us, we're going to hopefully get to a guaranteed locked-in playoff spot. We talked about that today on our pre-show as well, because Day-Day was so excited about preseason NBA sports fever.
Catch it.
I was not so excited.
You were very excited about the Hawks preseason last night.
No, I was not.
I felt you were very animated this morning.
I just thought that it was important that, look, if you are a Hawks fan, there's a few things you need to be watching for. You only have four preseason games to figure out what this team is going to possibly look like. We don't have a true backup point guard. So I felt like, you know what? This is a good time to kind of see what this team looks like when Trae Young's not on the court.
And they traded Kobe Buffett this offseason, too. That's
exactly
right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's all it is. I just think for Hawks fans out there, take these four games, well, now three, get your eyes on them, because this is going to give you an idea of what this team is going to look like. Remember, this is a brand new roster.
It is.
It's a new look Hawks. That's what I said on Twitter today promoting the show. It's a new look Hawks. You know, we're going to see. By the way, you know, Reese Sashay, he probably had the most minutes, but that's fine. We did, as we said, got to see Capella on his old team back with the Rockets. But this is a squad that, I mean, Carl brought this up last week. We talked to Steve Koonin. Do we have enough at the center position to let us play? You know, it's sort of center by committee for the Hawks this year.
It is. And I know Steve Holman talked about the size of Porzingis yesterday on the show with us. But again, Porzingis is not a true center. He is long. He is. But he shoots more threes than anything. Right. Yeah. So, you know.
He's a bigger Al Horford.
He really is. And so I think it is committee by committee, Mike. But we're going to find out. Like, I'm curious to see today's point. And last night was the first preseason game for the Hawks. As he said, three more. It's not a lot. I think Thursday, I think the Houston Rockets come here, I believe it is, or one of those. And then we have our opener, like, the 22nd. But the point is this. How are we going to play? What's going to be the style of play with these new pieces? And, like, Nikhil last night, if you watched any of it, he just showed you a glimpse. Like, he can shoot threes, but I was talking to O about this, about the defense. With Nikhil and Dyson Daniels on the floor at the same time, you now have two legitimate wing guys that can defend almost anybody in the league. And then you add that flexible size with Jalen Johnson and these guys, Mike. Okongwu now, because Okongwu showed last year, he can guard anybody. He can guard a four or five, it doesn't matter. That's kind of what I'm looking at. I want to just see how they're going to play. But I'm with you, Day-Day. I don't know about the backup point guard thing. I think they got to figure that out.
I'm sorry, Day. I know you're – this was like Rick Cammell-level enthusiasm. But still, preseason matters, Carl.
You mean summer league? Summer league? That goes back a few years.
Rick did middays here, and one day, Carl and I –
This isn't passion. There's a little anger in here.
Yeah.
Then we did the handoff, and Rick would be
– How did you find that, though?
And Rick was going off because I was waiting to come on there with Carl, and he did like 20 minutes on summer league. And I literally sat there day, and I go, Rick, I go, with all due respect, nobody gives a crap about summer league.
This isn't passion. There's a little anger in here.
I mean, you would have thought I said something about his mom.
This is true.
I mean,
I thought there
was
you did.
There was some awkward tension.
I thought you did.
I besmirched the summer league.
Hey, we got the coaches show coming up. Yeah, that's right. It's been a bye week.
Yeah.
But Coach Ross is going to sit down with Dave Archer. Player guest tonight is Xavier Watts. He's off to a great start, man. Watts is balling.
He could have been the overall defensive player of the week, as Ross said, if he had gotten that pick in week one.
I think, you know, this was a very good pick for our team, and not just for now, but for the long term. But those two guys will be on tonight at 6. Then once the coaches show gets done, you'll get a chance to hear Turtle starting at 7 o'clock. Mm. So he's got a show starting at 7. So make sure you stay tuned. Tomorrow, I want to remind you before we get out of here, we are in Hiram. What do you call them again, Mike?
Hiramites.
Yeah.
Which I believe is in the Old Testament.
Okay.
I believe they built the Solomon's Temple.
Buffalo's Cafe tomorrow in Hiram. We'll be out there from 2 to 6. Having a good time, man. We do our thing. Inviting you guys to come hang out with us. Come by, say hello, have a cocktail, whatever, some food. The food is really good, by the way, at Buffalo's Cafe. So we enjoy it. But that's where we'll be tomorrow. And then Thursday, we'll be out back up at Flowery Branch because everything got pushed back a day because we play on Monday night.
You know what the Hiramites are famous for saying?
What's that?
Measure twice, cut once.
Let's get out of here and clear our throats. Hey, thanks to our guests, Connor, Riley, and Dave Archer, for jumping on with us tomorrow. Wes Drewham joins us, and Barbara Dooley's coming by. She's going to stop by the show tomorrow to talk about Auburn and what's going on with the Dogs. So make sure you tune in.
Barbara's she met her husband at Auburn.
She did. Normally with this on Thursdays, she's been moved up a day. So just want to give you a heads up because I know a lot of Dog fans are like, when's Barbara on? That's all we listen to. Right, we understand. She will be on tomorrow. All right, man. Thanks for listening. Big O, great job behind the glass. Day-Day, executive producing. Stay tuned. Coach's show is on the way. Arch will also talk to Xavier Watts as we get ready for the Bills. I cannot wait for Monday night. It's going to be a big game. It's going to have a big game feel to it. Hey, man, Mike Bell, let's get out of here. Clear your throat.
Hey, man. Yeah, it's a tough year for the Bravos, and we lose Brian Snicker to find out who the new manager is. But how about the Phillies? After blowing doors to win this division, knocking the Braves out, knocking the Mets out, you realize, and I saw this today from Underdog Sports, they posted on social media, the Phillies have got a worse playoff record their last 11 games than the Braves do. Phillies dropped to 2-9 in the postseason. All that money that I always talk about, all that quality pitching, all that slugging, man, their guys, Schwarber and Bryce Harper, are struggling. And Rob Thompson getting killed for trying to bunt a guy over to third last night with the game on the line. Dodgers taking that series back to L.A. about to knock Philly out. Well, I hate when bad things happen to bad people.
Hey, how bad is it for, not necessarily for the Browns, but for the Bengals? You trade for 40-year-old Joe Flacco. Dylan Gabriel, this is your moment. If you're that dude, you take advantage of this. You don't have Flacco as your backup, just in case, break glass. Mm-hmm. It's you and Shador. And to me, Mike, that's even more interesting than what's going on with Cincinnati.
Right.
I kind of want to see where this goes. And at what point do the Browns actually give Shador an opportunity to show what he's got? Guys, they got to figure it out. They drafted two quarterbacks this year. You're not drafting three more next season. Either one of these guys by the end of the year is going to be the starter. And I don't know who it's going to be. Hey, if you love the show,
you tell your friends.
If you don't,
you had a delightful conversation with a very sexy German woman, and then your partner on the radio says she was AI.
AI.
And I'm not kidding.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.